Hello, brothers and sisters. It's Jonathan Ritter. It's Wednesday night. Hope you guys had a good Bible study at your church tonight or private Bible study at home. Hope you had a good Sunday and a good Bible study Sunday morning and that night. And I pray that the pastor or the preacher or the evangelist or the whoever you had preach at your church, that they delivered the word and that you were fed. And I pray that it didn't end on Sunday. It started Monday and you've been spreading the word of God with a fire and a passion within your body, as we should as believers in Christ. We should have that passion and that fire to reach that world with the gospel before it's too late. So I'm doing a couple sermons on spiritual warfare, but I want to take a little break from that and talk about salvation. And man, I preach a lot on salvation. Probably will preach a lot more for us over with. To me, it's such a beautiful, I'll say topic, but such a beautiful thing that God did for us. And one of my, I guess I would say fear loosely, fear, is that we really lose the focus of what salvation is, and we're not given the whole truth of salvation. Most of the time you're hearing partial truths out there, and they're not preaching the whole gospel of salvation, which breaks my heart because it's misleading a lot of people. So tonight we're going to be in John 3:16. We're going to read from verse 16 all the way to 21. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already. Because they have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. The light is come into the world, and man loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20. For everyone that do evil hate the light, neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that do true comes to the light, and that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Bow with me, guys. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come tonight, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity, Lord, just to be able to preach your gospel, Lord. Thank you for another opportunity just to preach on salvation tonight. And to whoever that may need to hear it tonight, Lord, I pray it touches their heart. I pray that it reaches them in a level that only you can. And I pray the Holy Spirit is ignited in them, and a passion and a fire that burns in their bodies to be a child of God and to be a disciple, which are not separate. They are both the same, a true disciple of God, to reach the world with that our time is drawing near, and where many will be lost. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you just be with the sermon. I pray that you guide and you direct these passages, and it all shows you glory and honor, and your will be done. As we pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ, amen. So, John 3:16-21. A lot of you guys probably know John 3:16 verse is probably one of the most memorized and most quoted scriptures, other than Matthew 7:1, judge lest ye be judged, which is called the Matthew 7:1 saints. They love quoting that. And I'm using that as a funny statement, because most of the time they want to be saved in their sin, not away from their sin. Jesus never said, sin and go sin some more and have fun with it. No, he says, sin no more. He never said, enjoy your sin. He tells you the opposite. But when we look at John 3:16 and that verse 16:17 here, it said, "For God so loved the world and this world," right? And he gave his only begotten son, that would be Jesus Christ, "that whosoever shall believe in him not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." Here is, God sent Jesus Christ into this world. And why? I don't know if you guys ever looked at Genesis chapter 1 through 2. And then that third. It gives us account of God creating this whole world. It's a beautiful account. It tells us how he created the heavens and the earths and the animals and, you know, the oceans. And, of course, he created Adam. And then, of course, from Adam's rib, he created Eve. And they were living in this paradise. And there's a popular DVD out there that I encourage you guys to get. It's called Paradise Lost. And it kind of gives the whole account of what went down. And I'm going to give you kind of really short version of this, but this world was created by God. It was perfect in anything you could think. It was, the temperature was just right. You didn't have all this humidity like you have in Louisiana. When you walk out the door, you start sweating, although it is getting cooler now, which is nice. And we were supposed to get some rain tomorrow. That might not be as nice because I work out in the elements, right? And you guys that work out in the elements, make sure you got your weather slicker on and a nice pair of socks and some shoes, extra shoes. And, well, you know what I'm talking about. But you see, this world was beautiful. And he had animals, and all these animals, they didn't eat meat. I mean, they didn't kill. That's amazing when you think about it. They didn't kill. And if you, like me, you like to watch like Animal Planet or these documentaries on Planet Earth and stuff like that. Or there's one documentary in which I've mentioned several times called The Hunt. And it actually shows the predator and prey interaction. And I can clearly, in course, I'm a country boy too. So I've been out in the woods and I've seen the predator and prey in action. Animals do eat meat now. We eat meat now, but there was a time where we didn't. We just survived off the land and the what God provided through nurturance of the trees and the fruit, and it was plenty. There was plenty to go around. See, Adam and Eve didn't hurt for nothing. They didn't have the pains. They didn't have the suffering. They didn't have the bad weather, the hurricanes, the tropical storms. They didn't have disease and famine. They didn't have none of this. It was beautiful. It was awesome. But God did give them one commandment, one order. And you can really see this in Genesis 2, verse 16 through 17. It says this, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest, therefore thou shalt surely die." Man, that's, you know, you're going to die, Adam, if you eat this. And of course, Adam didn't do a very good job communicating to Eve. But Eve was very aware that she was not supposed to partake in this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So you got Adam, you got Eve, you got the commandment not to eat of this tree. And yeah, so you can be happy, you can enjoy God's creation, you can have babies, you can live in joy, no pain, stress, right? But as we see, this historical account continues. We see that Satan enters a serpent. I literally believe he enters a serpent. I don't think that's figuratively speaking. And Eve allows Satan to deceive her. And of course, Eve deceives Adam. Adam allows Eve to deceive. And they eat of this fruit that God clearly told them not to eat. And when they ate of this fruit, they realized they were naked, and that shame hit them. at that point, sin. I know sin doesn't want to be talked about. It wants to be skipped over. But S-I-N, sin, enter this world. When God was looking around for them, they hid themselves because of the shame and guilt and the conviction of their disobedience to God. And God called out to them, and where are you at? And they said, we're naked. And of course, I'm paraphrasing, he had to kill some animals. And that was the first animal sacrifice. And this set course, if you keep on reading into Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, this sets up the whole animal sacrifice. This was a innocent blood had to be shed. And of course, we see in Genesis 3, verse 15, is the first prophetic, I guess, pointing, or I guess that's a good word, be pointing to Jesus Christ. And it says, Genesis 3, 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. So, this is a prophetic, first prophetic wording or saying of there will be a Savior that will come, and this Savior will come, and he will redeem the world. Of course, if you follow all the way through the Old Testament, you will see how they had to do the sacrifices and the offerings, the sin offering, the wave offering. I encourage you guys to check all that out. It's pretty fascinating, because all it was basically putting a Band-Aid on the wound until Jesus came. The Old Testament pointed to Jesus. You go through the prophetic books like Isaiah and Ezekiel. It all pointed to Jesus. I want to come up here. I want to bring your attention to that term that we briefly went over in Genesis 2, verse 16 through 17. That last part, you will surely die. You see, up to that point, Adam and Eve, they were going to live forever. I was reading a book one day about, and this medical doctor was looking at our DNA. I kind of find that stuff fascinating. Maybe you guys do. I kind of find myself watching these documentaries about the human mind and body, and it's just amazing. We are, if you look in the mirror, we are God's masterpiece. It's just amazing how everything just, and if one thing's out of sync, it's like your whole body just, it throws the whole body off. But he said he was looking at our DNA, and he said there was a point in the DNA where it was designed, where we were designed to live forever, but something went wrong, and that was simply the curse. When Adam and Eve took the fruit, the curse of death entered our lives. I mean, death would be experienced. That is a physical death. Along with that physical death, you can add spiritual death to that. But when God killed the animals to atone for that sin, that was atoning for their sin, setting a system up that would later be used. But they would have to experience the physical death. And how we know this, if you can flip over there, Hebrews 9:27 tells us, and it's appointed man to die. That's physical once, but after that, or after this, the judgment, meaning we are appointed a physical death unless God comes and raptures us out, then we will not have to see that physical death. And of course, the second death, which is the one that is sad, and you can see that in Revelations 21, verse 8, it says, but the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone. You see, the lake of fire is actually the final resting place, which is the second death. That is a spiritual death. I was reading an article one time, and this preacher was giving his account. There was a person who survived a house burning, And this person was in a state of unconsciousness. In consciousness, she was kind of going in and out. And through this whole deal, the preacher said this person would wake up out of nowhere and scream, "Oh God, help me! Oh God, help me!" And then we go back into unconsciousness. See, that's how hell's going to be, or how I kind of look at it. It'll be an everlasting torment and fire, screaming for help for God, and we'll not receive it because we are damned. God has given us all the opportunities in the world to come to Him. And tonight, He's giving you opportunity to come to Him. If you hear these words, and not just my words, but through these scriptures. I'm a preacher that clings to the Bible. I don't try to give too much of my opinion. I'm just a messenger of God trying to just speak out into this world that we need to change. So there's the death, right? Spiritual death. And none of us want to have a spiritual death. It's a sad thing to have a spiritual death. As we go back to our scripture here in John 3:16, we get a little bit more kind of, hopefully, there's a little, through the Holy Spirit that is guiding me through this preaching, that it shed a little light. For God so loved the world, why He loved the world, that gave His only begotten Son. Because it's not what we done, it's about what He did. And what happened in the garden, He had to send a perfect lamb to die for the sins of the world. And then because that He had to die, He had to live among us, He had to walk among us, He had to experience a death that I would not even wish on my worst enemy. The crucifixion. How, and just up to the crucifixion, if you watch the Passion, and I encourage you guys to watch it. It's a good, I know it has doctoral issues, but man, I watch that once a year, and I tear up like a baby just watching it, because to see how He suffered greatly, it tears my heart up. Romans 10. Let me flip to it. Romans 10, verse 9 says this, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And of course, it don't end there, guys. For with the heart man believe unto righteousness, that key word, righteousness here, and with the mouth confess is made unto salvation. It don't end there either. Verse 11, for the scripture said, whosoever believe on Him shall not be ashamed. 12, for there is no difference between Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call up on Him. For whosoever shall call up on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on Him which they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? There's a lot of things going on in this passage. A lot of things missed. When you read this and an evangelist is giving this message, a lot of things are not emphasized here. And I want to take out, I want not take out, but I want to add, want to bring your attention to righteousness. Verse 10, for the heart man believe unto righteousness. You see, the righteousness of God. See, it's not because of our righteousness, it's because of the righteousness of God. We have a borrowed robe of righteousness. But when we say I do, when we recognize what He did on the cross for us, we recognize the blood that was shed for our sins, and we recognize that He rose from the dead, and that He was seen by many. And when we say I do, we believe in our heart unto righteousness, meaning our life should be different, and our mouth confess made unto salvation. And for the scripture said, whosoever believe on Him shall not be ashamed. You know, I've been to several conferences, and it breaks my heart when the preacher's up there and say, hey, say this little prayer. Everybody bow your head and say this. And of course, we know it's the sinner's prayer. There's nowhere in the Bible, not one place in the Bible, where Jesus tells us to pray this little prayer, this sinner's prayer. He does tell us to pray the Lord's Prayer, which I would consider that the disciples' prayer. But he never says, oh, bow your head and say this little prayer. He tells us not to be ashamed, meaning all eyes should be on us. When we make that confession, everybody should be watching us. That should be the proudest moment in our life. We should want everybody to know, because within that church or at home listening to this, and you want to go, that's easy. It's when you walk out into that world. It's when it gets for real. That's when you're being tested. That's when the fire begins. Those fiery temptations. Ephesians 2:8, verse 10 says this, for by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in. Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 10. It said, for by grace are you saved through faith. You see, grace is a beautiful thing. Amazing grace was seen on that cross. Grace is a beautiful thing. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Many won't stop there. When we open our hearts to Jesus, when we make that, what we would say, that confession of faith, when we say, I accept and believe and confess that Jesus died on that cross, the blood that was shed on Calvary, I accept that grace and that mercy that he provides for me. That Holy Spirit comes and resides and lives inside of us. And when that happens, you can see it in John 3, 1 through 10, when he speaks about being born again. We are created for good works. Verse 10, so for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath ordained that we should walk in them. There's no difference. And a lot of people will confuse this, and they take the grace of God and they smear it. And they tell you, you don't have to be different. All you have to do is say I do, and your life will be okay, and it'll be beautiful, and you don't have to go out there and do anything else. God done it all. And yes, he did it all. In the sense that he has sent his son Jesus Christ to die on that cross, and the blood to be shed on the, and that we can be saved. But see, when we become saved, the Holy Spirit comes inside of us. It's like a fire that ignites. And when he does, our passion or desire to go out there and go to tell the world about Jesus. Titus 3 verse 4 through 8 says this, but after that the kindness of love of God our Savior toward man appeared, now by the works of righteousness that we have not done, but according to his mercy he saved us. There it is, for his mercy he saved us by the washing of the regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That being justified by his grace, you'll see that grace again, we should be made heirs. We are heirs according to the hope of the eternal life. This is a faithful saying, that these things will thou affirm constantly that have believed in God. And be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to man. We are ordained to go out there. We're not excused to sit on our hands and act like everything's going to be okay and not have to do anything. God tells us we have to be doers of the word, not just hearers of the word. When you say I do to God, the Holy Spirit comes in you, he guides you, he directs you, you're regenerated. I mean, that word regenerator means we are made new. We are no longer the same. And that's a beautiful thing. 2 Corinthians verse 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Amen. Meaning, we are now new in Christ. If you go to Galatians 5, it tells us we're supposed to walk in the Spirit. We should strive to walk in the Spirit. That is, our love should be shining. Long suffering, and that's not a good word, but we should embrace it when it comes and thank God for it. Goodness, gentleness, temperance, meekness, joy, peace, and faith. That's what our life is supposed to look like. Yes, we're going to struggle. Yes, we're going to, days we're not going to make the mark. But you know what? That's what forgiveness is. That is saying, Lord, okay, I didn't make it today. Forgive me. Tomorrow, give me strength where I failed today. Not, oh, okay, well, I failed. That's all right. God understands. No, God doesn't understand. He expects so much more from us. And how we're not missing, how we are missing the mark. How our churches and the pulpits and the preachers not proclaiming the truth of what we're supposed to do when we are become children of God. How they encourage lukewarmness and how the mass flocks to that lukewarmness. See, we should walk less in the flesh. You can see that in Galatians 5. We should adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murdering, drunkenness, revealing such like of which I tell you. Before, as I have told you in time past, they do which do such things shall not. It says shall not. It don't say you will inherit it. It's either you will not inherit the kingdom of God. Meaning you're doing these things and the Holy Spirit's not grieving your heart. Then you are not a child of God. You have said that sinner prayer and your heart has not been truly in God's favor. The words were idle. Romans 10:10. Just went over that scripture. For with the heart man believe unto righteous. A heart. God sees your heart. Jonathan Ritter don't see your heart. God sees your heart. He knows where you're at in your life. You may get angry at me and cut this off and defriend me. Or not even want to listen to these messages anymore. Because it convicts you. It stirs you up. Because you know your life don't resemble what it's supposed to resemble. As a Christian. As a true disciple of Yahweh. Matthew 7:18-20. This is Jesus speaking here. He says some harsh words about evil fruit. He said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. You have a counter here. I don't know if you're like me. You've been out, you know, I'm a country boy. So, you know, like I used to go and grab a fig or grab an orange and a peach, and man, and you learn real quick that peach might look really pretty on the front, but you gotta squeeze it, see if it's soft, if you have any soft spots in it. And man, if and it has soft spots in there, you know there's rotten spots in there. You just don't grab that sucker and eat it, which I did when I was a kid and learned real quick you don't do that. You're talking about spitting it out. Lukewarmness. God will spew them out of his mouth. And 19 here in Matthew 7 says, every tree that bring not forth good fruit, he will hem down. He will cut down. He will cast into the fire. That is hell. That is the second death. And wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And this is Matthew 7:18-20. And all the ones that want to quote Matthew 7:1 and they want to leave out these verses, heaven help them. Because God is not going to tolerate it. He'll give them opportunity to change their ways. But they want to sit there, don't judge me, don't judge me, don't judge me. I'd rather somebody correct me. And I'd rather, if I say something, and I would always say when I'm preaching in public, and if I say something that's not right, and I'm human, I can misspeak. Correct me now. If there's something in Scripture that I left out, correct me now. I'd rather a brother or sister correct me. I've been under the chastisement of the Holy Spirit, and it hurts every time. Regeneration, guys, that's key. When you accept that John 3:16-18 there, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's beautiful. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. And of course, it goes on, if you don't believe, he that, I'm going off of memory right now, but he that believe on God is not condemned, but he that don't believe is condemned already. Meaning, if you don't believe, truly believe, you are condemned already. And when I say truly believe, your life has to be different. You can say, oh, I believe, but unless there's a heart change, unless your life is different and you strive to walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. And when, thank God for the Holy Spirit that comes and resides in his children. Hebrews 12:6-11 tells us this: for whom the Lord loved, he chastened and scourged every son, and that can be daughter, who he receives. If you endure chastening, God dealt with you as with sons or daughters. For what is son he whom the father chasteneth not? That's important. But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. I mean, all the children of God will be partaker of some form of chastisement. We need to get spanked. I know I get spanked. Not as much as I used to, because I try to lean on the Holy Spirit a lot more. He used in the King James Version, which a lot of preachers would try to pass up and sugarcoat it. I don't sugarcoat the gospel. It says, then are ye bastards. You're not his. You are a bastard. You are the son and daughter of Satan. And it goes here, it says, for more we have a father of our flesh who correct us and give us, and we give them reverence. So we not much rather be subject unto the Father of Jesus, right? For they vary for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, meaning, and here's this another word that don't want to be preached, that you might be partaker of his holiness. He tells us to be holy. When you come home and you're tired, and you want to sit in front of that TV and watch whatever garbage you want to watch to please your flesh while your Bible is collecting dust, and you're not praying, and it's a Wednesday night, and you say, hey, I'm just going to stay home. I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like it. And there's something on TV anyway, and you're not feeling the chastisement of the Holy Spirit to pull you and convict your spirit, there's something serious wrong. Thank God for chastisement. Thank God for conviction. Lest me know that I'm a child of God, right? That's how you know that you're a child of God. Conviction. So, a little recap here. And of course, I didn't hit everything. I've really hit a lot on salvation, probably in points where it's being missed today when a preacher gets up in the pulpit and speaks on salvation. Yes, we are saved by grace and his mercy. Yes, what he did on the cross and the blood that was shed was precious. And I do not take away from that, because the blood is what saves us. He died because of the sins we did, Adam and Eve. And we open our hearts truly to that. And we believe and we confess. And we confess what He did on that cross. And we confess what He did at rose that third day from the tomb. And that one day He will be coming back for His children. We confess that. We believe that. And when we do that, truly, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives. And it changes our lives. That word is regeneration. If you guys never heard of that word, I encourage you to look it up and do more research into it through the scriptures. Regeneration. Paul, of course, speaks on it being, we were old, now we're new. We are new. And because we are new, we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us. Our life starts reflecting Jesus. We start yearning more to walk more in the fruit of the Spirit and less in the flesh. Our lives among that lost world should not mimic it. It should clearly be a distinction between, now I'm not saying hate, but it will come off as hate. When you stand on the Word of God today in this world, and I know because I don't hate nobody. I love more than most. But I have to stand on the gospel and speak the truth. And when I speak the truth, you know, it's perceived as hate because you're not accepting their sin. I can't accept my sin. I'm not perfect. I sin daily. But my heart hurts and I repent daily. I get on my knees and I cry out to God because of the conviction, chastisement, that I'm not okay with my sin. I want to sin no more. Every day I wake up, Lord, let me walk like You walk, Lord. Let me walk in the Spirit. I beat my flesh. Help me not sin today. But we have that dual nature. We have that flesh. And we do sin. But we should never be okay with that. That doesn't give us a license to sin. That doesn't give us dirty grace. Sin breaks God's heart. It should break ours. If it doesn't, there's something serious wrong with you. If it doesn't break your heart. And when we are new and we're changed and walking in the fruit of her, we are truly becoming disciples that Jesus needs us to be. We're becoming the soldiers that He needs us to be. We have counted all the costs. Because there's a cost in following Jesus. That's another part that sermons want to miss. See, America way is, I don't want to suffer for anything. Give it to me now. I want it instant. I don't want to have to wait for it. There's a cost in following Jesus. It could cost you your job. It could cost you your family. I know I won't go too much in details, but I have lost a lot. I have family who don't speak to me because they think I've lost my mind. But I found my mind in Christ. I have the mind of Christ. I love them. I pray for them. And I pray that they change their perspective on what it means to be a Christian. Because it's all worth it in the end. I remember seeing a post a while back ago. It said, one day, carrying your cross. I'm trying to think of that saying. Oh, a lifetime, carrying your cross. And the pain and the suffering that comes with that is only one day. Only one day in hell. You see, this life will end. We'll, of course, have to struggle. And we will have to experience life because this world's curse. But we can cling to the scripture. One of my favorite ones is Revelations 21 verse 4. It says, "And God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." That's a beautiful promise. I cling to promises, especially when I'm going through a really rough patch. I know one day I will not cry no more. I know one day this body that is growing older and getting aches and pains, and that will eventually die physically, not spiritually. And I know when I see Jesus, I will be spiritually, and I will not be well glorified body, right? And we know there will be no more sorrow, no crying, and no more pain. And all will be past. We'll have to worry about bills and car payments and insurance. Everything will be taken care of, and God will embrace me. I will live forever in paradise. And can only imagine. That's a beautiful song. I really love that song. I'm sure millions do. The sad thing is millions don't want to suffer at all in the sense of carrying their cross. They want the heaven without the pain. They don't want to count the cost. They don't want to give up anything in their life. They want to live in their sin and not away from their sin. They want to profess something, their heart's nowhere near. I'm not being mean. I'm just being real. Being real. Because I'm a real preacher. And I preach real, man. There's pain in this life, and there's a pain in calling yourself a Christian, and there's people that this world will hate you just because you stand on the gospel, the true gospel, the word of God. When you say, "Hey, adultery and fornicators ain't happening. Living together, cohabitation, sex before marriage ain't." You're doing that, you're professing something you're not, if you're claiming to be Christian, living together, and you're not convicted by the Holy Spirit, then not being judgmental, that's being through the Word of God. You truly have not opened your hearts to Jesus, because he don't want nothing to do with that, and you should be feeling the conviction and the chastisement of the Holy Spirit to get that right. Stop doing it, repent, court. Let her go home where mom and dad and court her, and then, you know, put a ring on that finger and do it in the eyes of God. Hopefully tonight this helped a little bit on salvation. I have other sermons on salvation on this website. I love preaching on salvation. It's my favorite topic. I probably could preach a few hours just breaking down scriptures. You know, of course, if you guys haven't heard the word grace and mercy, I encourage you guys to check that out. You know, them terms, but they're both seen at the cross. You know, and regeneration—that's a big one. That's missed out a lot, but it's so very important to the scriptures to be regenerated, meaning you're no longer your old, you're new. And your life should be different. If you guys have any questions or any thoughts, any comments, you can hit me on Facebook. This website, there's a link there. It'll send a straight email to me. I have my phone number on there. You can text me. If you send me a death threat, I will delete you. And don't laugh about that, because that does happen. All right. Well, you guys have a good night. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the opportunity to speak the word that you've laid on my heart to speak tonight. Lord, I pray whoever's out there that needs to hear about salvation, that it just touches their hearts, knowing the first thing they need to understand is there's a love beyond our understanding. And there's a love that they're missing in their life. and that love is Jesus Christ. But understanding when you take in that love comes. But it also becomes part of your life. And you become a disciple, a true disciple of Jesus. And your ways should reflect His ways as seen in the Bible. We are supposed to live according to the Scriptures. And when we mess up or when we sin, Lord, we know that's why You sent Jesus Christ down here, so we can come right where we're at, and we don't need to kill a lamb or over the altar. We can come right where we're at tonight and say, Lord, forgive me. You know how I did, Lord, and pray, Lord, give me strength not to do it again. Be my light, God. Help me walk more in the Spirit and less in the flesh. Lord, I pray if there's anybody here today that they're seeking You, Lord. I pray, Lord, that through these Scriptures that we've given today, that You let them go to those Scriptures and read them Scriptures, because it's ultimately, I'm just a messenger. I'm flawed. I can misspeak. But when we read through Your Word, when we look at the Scriptures like John 3:16, 17, 18, and of course 19 to 20 and 21, and then we look at Romans 10, 8 to 12, and these other Scriptures tonight, Lord. God, we know when somebody opens the Bible with a true heart that really truly want to know You. Yeah, You don't need a preacher. You don't need a preacher. Your Word is enough. Your Spirit is enough. That's how You reach those people in those third world countries, Lord. You don't need a preacher. All you need is the Word of God to open it up and look and start reading. And the Word will do itself. The Word will answer the questions. The Word will convict the hearts. The Word will guide that heart to salvation. Thank You once again for tonight, Lord. Thank You for guiding this sermon and directing this sermon. We pray all this in Your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. Love you guys. Y'all have a good night.